Are you sitting comfortably? Good. Then we'll begin.
Holy Interplanetary Yardstick!
My name's Stephen Morris, and welcome to Songs in the Key Of, a podcast about songs. These might be old songs, new songs, or middle-aged songs, anything that takes my fancy, really. Sometimes these shows will be themed around an idea, a person, a genre, or some other concept. Other times, they will simply reflect my latest obsessions, my new favourite bands, those songs I can't get out of my head. This time round, there's no particular theme, no grand plan, no great desire to compile a decalogue of songs about trees, Henry IV, or the merits of owning a Kawasaki Ninja H2. It's just 10 songs that have been keeping me occupied of late. So, let's get on with it. In the year of our common era, 2026, Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead is teaming up again with the Israeli singer-songwriter Shai Ben Tzur and the Indian ensemble The Rajasthan Express. They've already released a single from their forthcoming album, Ranja, meaning beloved, by way of reference to Punjabi folklore. And the long player itself, sharing the same name as that single, will be out in May. But I'm not going to play you any of that. Ranja, with its funky rhythms and cyclical beats, together with Shai Ben Tzur's tremulous vocal, may be the thing that caught my attention about Rajasthan Express, and I'd urge you to dig it out as a matter of urgency. But the song that caught my attention actually comes from 11 years ago, and the album Junan, which spawned a documentary film directed by no less a director than Paul Thomas Anderson. On this album, you'll hear a rather more sedate song by the name of Azov, which is, well, it's rather beautiful. The name of the song is associated with someone who emits blessings and good deeds by cultivating humility and focusing on constant spiritual growth. Azov is a perfect blend of cultures, the throaty lyrical delivery of Ben Tzur's vocals and the mysterious sounding floating accompaniment of Rajasthan's Express's melodies together with their hypnotic drumming. It is pure collaboration both musically and spiritually. There's no danger of Johnny Greenwood trying to insert any Radiohead stylings into the mix. It's the very definition of the humility and spiritual searching that the word Azov seems to be about. It goes, rather wonderfully, just like this. Content to throw an Israeli artist's collaboration with a bunch of Indian musicians at you, I now offer you the fruits of a French singer-songwriter's labours in Tucson, Arizona. A good few years ago now, a rather wonderful chap by the name of Sean Hendry sent me a massive parcel of records and CDs from his record label Vasilando 68. Vasilando 68 was a curious affair. as it specialised in two distinctly different categories of music. On the one hand, there was a lot of Medway music on offer, Mr. Hendry having been born and bred in the Medway towns, and so there was stuff like Theatre Royal, Stuart Turner and the Flat Earth Society, and the Singing Loins on the roster. But on the other hand, there was a wealth of music from Tucson on there too. Not just music from Tucson though, that wasn't quite niche enough for Sean. It generally had to be music by international artists resident in Tucson. And so the label featured artists such as Gabriel Naim Amor from France, Los Hijos de la Montaña from Mexico, and Susie Hugg, born in Japan. See also, or perhaps more importantly, listen also to Marianne Desard, whose songs will melt in your ears. Her 2008 album, L'Entre-deux, is gorgeous with a capital Gorge. It would be an utter delight even if it didn't feature a cover of Calexico's Si Tu Disais with Calexico collaborator Brian Lopez, but it does, so that's even better. Merci de rien du tout, which roughly translates as think nothing of it, is a particularly wonderful thing of beauty, delivered with the level of nonchalance you might expect from a song with such a title. There's a fairly intense driving beat lurking somewhere beneath, but apart from that, it's all hushed tones and meandering instrumentals. Running the lyrics through Google Translate, my GCSE French isn't up to much these days, other than asking the way to the nearest swimming pool in La Rochelle, a la a Tricolore textbook, it seems the song is a big long thank you for the simplest of things, a lover's massaging of cold feet, a nice cup of hot tea, and for shared jokes. Thank you for the wonder that the day brings upon waking. Thank you for the sudden mystery of being on Earth. Mystery of all these little things that make everything feel good. A good long while ago, we're talking around about 2009, I was writing music reviews for a now defunct online magazine revelling in the name of Shout for Music. Back in those days, CDs were still very much king, and so it was quite exciting to get a jiffy bag full of random CDs, a kind of lucky dip for me to work through every few weeks. One of the highlights from those days was a single by Jonathan Jeremiah. Aside from the lead song and the accompanying B-sides, one of which was a cover of Massive Attack's Protection, I know absolutely nothing about Mr. Jeremiah or his other music, although a quick search on the internet reveals he's still around, still creating music. The A-side in question was, and still is, a song called What's a Guy Got to Do? It's brilliant, and it's ridiculously catchy, to the point that 17 years later, I still regularly have the song as an earworm, even though I'm pretty sure that, up to now, I've not actually listened to it since around the time I reviewed it. It's soulful and smooth, the sound of pure sunshine. Jonathan Jeremiah's voice groans with longing. What's a guy got to do to get noticed by you? And the strings and horns add a richness to proceedings that makes it timelessly spectacular. If you told me it came from the height of Motown, circa Marvin Gaye, I would have believed you. Turns out he was born in 1982 and comes from North London. I say this a lot, but you're going to like this.
What's a guy got to do? What's a guy got to do? Well, does he glance at you and smile? Or keep you guessing for a little while? What's a guy got to do? Or just to get noticed by you? Well, must he beg on bended knees? On taunt a little and tease? What's he gotta do? Well, I must confess, yes, I must confess, I couldn't hazard a guess, so if it's any of these, can you tell me please, what's a guy got to do? What's a guy got to do? Well, does he have to fall in line or drive you out of your mind? What's a guy got to do? Just to get closer to you. Does he be sweet, kind of shy, or try to charm you like the other guys? What's he gotta do?
I'm a bit of a sucker for buying the thing that they're playing in the record store while I'm digging my way through crates of vinyl and clickety-clacking my fingers over CDs, which is how it came to be that I became the proud owner of Kathy Smith 2, an album from 1971 which has recently been reissued. As with Jonathan Jeremiah, I know very little about Kathy with a K Smith beyond what I've heard on this glorious album. The lazy comparison would be to say she sounds a bit like Joni Mitchell, kind of the inevitable comparison people make with any female singer-songwriter armed with an acoustic guitar. The slightly less lazy comparison would be with the whimsical psychedelic folk of Linda Perhacs. Take, for example, For Emile, which simply melts in the ears. The melding together of gentle, dreamy piano, barely there guitar, and Smith's echoey vocal are pure magic. Once you add in the mellifluous jazz flute, you find yourself elevated even higher. It's a song about being comfortable in a relationship, able to open up like a flower unfolds to the sun. It's utterly, utterly gorgeous and goes very much like this.
Like a flower unfolds to the sun. Emile, I feel just like a flower that has grown. Emile, I'm really free. I am an eagle that has flown. But I gotta go. Though I think you're fine,
on the 31st of December 2025, while most people were getting ready to see the new year in, the hugely prolific artist that is Billy Childish released, together with his band, one of his bands, CTMF, a single called Searching from the Losing Place, in anticipation of the album House on Fire, which itself came out a couple of weeks ago. The A-side is Standy Billy, Childish Fair, lo-fi, garage rock, all right if you like that kind of thing, which it turns out I do. But it was the B-side that really caught my attention. It may be just a cover, but it's a ferociously brilliant cover. Here, over the course of 1 minute and 59 seconds, while Billy Childish and CTMF deliver a simply gorgeous version of the old-school Batman theme tune, they take the blues riff and fly with it. It's distortion heavy and urgent. Holy smokes, I think you're gonna like this.
Hey, Bruce, it's a bat signal.
Yes, are you ready, Robin?
Yes, Batman.
They've only gone and done it again. While nowhere near as prolific as Billy Childish in his many guises, because, well, who is? Dead Anyway do nevertheless keep churning out excellent albums at a rate of knots. This year's offering, so far, is Squeak Piggy Squeak, a collection of 8 songs full of the dirty, grimy sounds their fans have come to love, complete with the beautiful, introspective poetry of Kate Arnold's spoken vocals. No Popcorn, the 3rd track on the album, is a particularly reflective offering filled with existential angst. Spinning on the old adage about trees falling unheard in forests, Arnold opens the song by asking, "If nobody hears you still here, still breathing, how do you tell you're still breathing?" It's a song about not quite being there. I am only built for fiction, character-driven. I have no plot. And it's all delivered with a sense of resignation that it's too late to change, to find a different way, that the only option is to disappear. It's a beautiful, poignant exploration of the search for meaning and purpose after years of, well, not quite being there. It's a typically eloquent, melancholic presentation of the inner life of someone for whom regret and circumstances seems overwhelming.
If nobody hears you breathing, are you breathing?
If nobody hears you still here, still breathing, how do you tell you're still breathing? I am still here, but too afraid to try the mirror thing. I do not think the mirror thing will be working. I am only built for fiction. Character driven. Character driven. I have no plot. I am only built for fiction. Character driven. Character driven. I have no plot. Let it not be forgotten that nothing makes me happy, even rewriting fact to make it happier. That doesn't make me happy.
I first came across the Low Anthem on Newsnight, which is, I think you'll agree, where most cool cats go for insights into what's hot and what's not in the world of alt folk and indie pop. In those days, Friday nights would see Kirsty Walk discussing the latest outings of Zadie Smith, Salman Rushdie or Steve Toltz with the likes of Jermaine Greer, Bonnie Greer or, saints preserve us, Michael Gove, before seeing off the evening with a performance by a musical guest. On one particular Friday night, I remember sitting in a rather dismal flat in Dartford when Ms. Walk introduced something rather special. It was the Low Anthem, playing the title track from their new album at the time, Oh My God, Charlie Darwin. It was simple, folksy, the sound of a hushed, lilting lullaby, with the gorgeous woody sound of a clarinet thrown in for good measure. I was smitten. A copy of the CD was, knowing me, in my collection within a matter of days. Curiously, a few years later, that very song was covered by none other than Tom Jones. Then, a few months back, while visiting my family in Gloucester, I took a trip to Cheltenham's Badlands record shop, somewhere I'd not been in maybe 20 years. It was here that I finally picked up my vinyl copy of Modern Nature's The Heat Warps, which I've been waxing lyrical about on this podcast of late. But there, in the bargain bin of all places, was also a copy of the Low Anthems 2018 album, and so their most recent, The Salt Doll Went to Measure the Depth of the Sea. The album takes its name from a Buddhist parable attributed to Ramakrishna Paramhansa, about a doll made of salt that decided, as the title suggests, to measure the depth of the sea. Inevitably, as the doll wades further and further into the water, she begins to dissolve. When she has nearly been completely absorbed by the sea, she says, "Now I know what I am." It's a story about surrendering the ego and finding yourself in something bigger, something that, to be honest, I still find hard to do 46 years into this little life of mine. The song I'm about to feature from this album goes by the name of Cy Twombly by Campfire. I can't pretend for a minute to say I completely understand the lyrics. What I can tell you is that Cy Twombly was an artist from Virginia born in 1928. The biography for him on the Christie's website says his paintings, drawings, sculptures, photographs and prints seem to traverse the entire spectrum of human experience, capturing the pulsations of life itself. To say that his artwork is abstract would be like saying that John Cage's 4 minutes and 33 seconds is a bit quiet in places. Shapes and meandering lines are either scratched out violently or daubed in thick splodges on the canvas. The lyrics to Cy Twombly by Campfire convey something of the energy the artist brought to his paintings. Verbs like spill, topple and shake convey something of the experimental approach Twombly employed, while the reference to Rorschach inkblots provides a spot-on comparison to the results of some of the finished pieces the artist produced. Musically, the song, and the album in general, is some way away from the folksy acoustica of earlier albums. The synths and other electronic sounds found here provide something of a nod towards Granddaddy. Pulsating chords, warped keyboards, and a hypnotic drumbeat all make for an enticing and entrancing song. It's utterly, utterly delicious.
Why would you shake your feathers at me when the silky firelight's done? In number on our outlines, for the spell you look like sigh. Twombly spills sesame night. Grass and minerals run these hazy hills here, there, slinky laughter drifting to milky firelight. First in every spin of old English, topple to potting dish, rolls the Rorschach.
I've recently rediscovered the joy of sitting down with a book for an hour or so, getting completely drawn into the plot, characters and feel of the thing. Recent explorations in fiction have included two books by Jonathan Coe, The Proof of My Innocence and The Rotters Club, both of which I'd highly recommend. And I'm currently working my way through Donna Tartt's The Secret History, which is proving intense and immersive and really rather wonderful. The question is, though, how to keep my ears occupied while reading about the guilty secret that Henry, Francis, Charles and Camilla share with Richard, the narrator. You can't generally go wrong with instrumental music when reading, and you definitely can't go wrong with Brian Eno. So I plumped for his 2001 collaboration with German composer Peter Schwalm, Drawn from Life, which consists of a series of haunting, lingering pieces of music, perfect for nighttime listening with a good book. It could very easily be dismissed as just background music, but that would be to do Messrs. Eno and Schwalm a disservice. The album is captivating, a proper headphones moment of an album, which you could just sit back and listen to quite happily without really doing anything else at all. The song I've plumped for is Night Traffic, a gorgeous tune that opens with the sound of strings, very nearly, but not quite, screeching in your ears, only to be countered by the soft sound of a mellotron, offering a lilting motif that undulates like the sea on the shore. It could be used as a soundtrack for a dark and gloomy crime drama set amidst the nighttime of a big city. It's a lazy sounding piece, never sounding particularly desperate to reach its conclusion, happy to unwind itself at its own pace, lacking with it an edgy darkness that makes it all the more alluring. Ever the sucker for a good compilation album, a couple of months back I treated myself to one of the installments of the Late Night Tales series. This one, curated by David Holmes and subtitled God's Waiting Room, dates back 10 years, so could arguably have appeared on the last episode, Songs in the Key of 2016, alongside Mr. Holmes's collaboration with his bandmates in Unloved. As one might expect from a series of compilations called Late Night Tales, the concept behind them is for bands and artists to curate a collection of tunes that are suitable for listening to as the wee small hours approach. Maybe something to read to, something to put on after a return from the pub, something to listen to as you cuddle up with a loved one on the sofa. One of the many highlights of Holmes' offering is Song Sung's hushed cover of 10cc's I'm Not In Love. Now, the original was and is absolutely perfect. It would be sheer foolishness and, more to the point, a barefaced lie to say otherwise. And I'm not going to be stupid enough or untruthful enough to say that Song Sung's take on the song is equal to or even better than the original. It is, however, an absolute delight to listen to, nevertheless. It's a beautiful take on the song, a gorgeous reminder of a stone-cold classic, about someone who is in a sense of denial about the feelings they have for someone they care for deeply. Where 10cc's original was dominated by male vocals, with individual sung notes recorded ad nauseam and relayed through a mixing desk, which was then played effectively like a musical instrument, Song Sung's version features female vocals in the lead, with a similar ghostly sound of vocals in support, recording something of the School of Seven Bells at their most chilled out. It is, by my reckoning, just a little bit slower than the original and probably a bit heavier on the instrumental accompaniment, but it remains utterly chilled out, full of depth, maintaining the tender nuance of the original, while offering something ever so slightly different from the original. Just listen to this. Been a while since I bought an actual CD. My latest music purchases have generally been 12 inches in diameter, as I have finally succumbed to the vinyl revival. Nevertheless, the other week I found myself back in Rochester's Oxfam, which still boasts a large collection of CDs for sale where most other charity shops no longer seem to attract them. For the princely sum of £7, I came away with four albums, three being a box set of Nick Lowe albums, and the last being Strange Love's 1996 album, Love and Other Demons. It was, I felt, about time I had some obscure 90s indie back in my life, and it's probably about time we had some back on this podcast. I first came across Strange Love back in 1997, when their song Beautiful Alone appeared on the soundtrack to a lightweight but charming film called Shooting Fish, starring Kate Beckinsale, Stuart Townsend and Dan Futterman, about a couple of con artists who live in a gas holder and are trying to raise the money to buy a very big house in the country. The soundtrack, which you will be unsurprised to hear I bought when the film was still out at the cinema, sounds like a compilation of B-list Britpoppers, There's no Blur, Oasis, Elastica or Pulp on there, but you will find Space, the Blue Tones and the Supernaturals. There's even a spectacular appearance of the Divine Comedy, one of my favourite Neil Hannon songs, the symphonic masterpiece that is In Pursuit of Happiness, from their short album About Love. The Strange Love song on the Shooting Fish soundtrack just happens to be on the Love and Other Demons CD I picked up from Oxfam, and it turns out to be something of an outlier of a song. Where Beautiful Alone is a radio-friendly piece of indie pop, the sort of thing that might find its way onto a whimsical, National Lottery-funded British comedy seeking to relive the glory days of an Ealing comedy caper, much of the rest of the album is bigger, bolder and angrier, growlier even in places. The album opener, for example, Living with the Human Machines, features something that might be a detuned violin or might be a squeaky gate. The intense noise it makes recalls the discordant chaos of Deus's album from a couple of years previous, Worst Case Scenario. For the last song on this episode, though, I'm going to return to Beautiful Alone, that first song I heard from Strangelove, just because it comes with particular memories of life as a sick former, hanging out with my friends most weekends. Stylistically, you could file the song next to stuff by the Milltown Brothers or My Life Story. The thing is, though, I'd never really paid attention to the lyrics before. Flaming Nora. They're bitter and twisted. Maybe I'd just heard the word beautiful repeatedly throughout the song, matched it up with a lightweight comedy it had helped soundtrack, and assumed it was some kind of indie love song. It turns out it's as much of a love song as R.E.M.'s The One I Love. And so it's actually about incompatibility in relationships, despite all the excitement that may accompany their beginning. Just take, for example, the lyrics of the final verse. Some people say to you they want to be your lover. They want to turn you into someone else, not you. Some people wait. They're saving up their hatred just for twisting knives into the back of you. Well, that's intense, brutal, heartbreaking. It may be delivered with an indie pop sheen, but inside, Patrick Duff, Alex Lee, Julian Pranksy Poole, Joe Allen and John Langley are sobbing furiously into their beer. Batmobiles and Nighttime Reading. If you liked what you heard, you can find a playlist of all the songs featured on this episode on Spotify. Just look for Songs in the Key of Popcorn, Batmobiles and Nighttime Reading. Podcasting protocol pretty much insists that I ask you to like and subscribe to this podcast on the platform of your choice. And if you know anyone who is a particular fan of songs about not being in love, other songs about very definitely, absolutely, categorically not being in love, or songs taken from albums named after Buddhist parables, be sure to tell them that this podcast could well be right up their street. I'll be back soon or later with some more songs in the key of something or other else. In the meantime, have a marvellous few days and nights till we meet again.